Mystery Crate has been presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
What up, people? Welcome to episode 3 of Mystery Crate,
the biggest podcast in the world.
That's right.
Not actually right at all.
No.
At all. No. Not even the biggest one in sports. For a brief moment in time, I think it was the biggest one in sports. But then we heard your feedback to episode 2.
Where are we at now?
I'm not exactly sure. We have to make these a little evergreen because we're recording this, you know, not live. This was earlier. Spoiler alert.
Let's say hypothetically it was Tuesday.
Hypothetically? I don't know. I don't have my phone in the studio. You want to give a search?
I don't even know how to search it.
Yeah, hang on. I assumed. I'll get my phone.
Okay.
Phil.
I feel like we're going to be... Right. What's good?
Top 25, maybe?
I mean, it's 12 good if we're 12?
Yeah, 12. I think it's good, yeah.
I don't know if we're 12.
I'm now in the other studio, and I'm going to do this live.
All right, how are you, Mike?
All right, podcast.
Hypothetically.
All right, so this is how you do it.
It's Tuesday.
And the reason why I like Apple Podcasts is because they do this, and it allows me to cherry pick when we do well. Yeah. Also, I go shows because of the... Because
we're higher on that list.
Yeah, because, well, yeah. The formula that they
this
use there is...
This seems like a scam, to be honest
with you. It is. It is. But people that don't actually pay attention to the podcast pay attention to rankings at ESPN. Oh, and we circulate the emails, and it looks very impressive when we go to shows and not episodes. So hang on, top episodes. All right, then you go to all categories, sports and recreation.
Hmm. We are number 8.
Are we?
We are number 8. But
yeah, eight. We're
top
almost
10.
A
week, top 10, baby.
We're almost a week old. Like we were I think at second or third.
No, we're almost 2 weeks old.
Yeah.
Okay, and the Lebatard and Friends, the Lebatard, well, Ellie space Batard ampersand Friends right, network yeah. channel feed is now top 10 too, which means all the shows are top 10. So that's
how
exciting.
Does that work?
Well, because if you hit subscribe on the Lebatard ampersand Friends network, especially on Apple Podcasts, you get all the shows. Mm-hmm. With one hit of a button, you get everything that's under the Lebatard and Friends umbrella.
I saw a couple complaints about not enough shipping container in episode 2. There's this thing called the local hour that you could check out.
Yeah.
We're all over that.
Yeah, it's 5 days a week.
Wait, so the channel thing counts as all of them combined?
Yeah, so if you...
So it's really just 1/5 of what the numbers
well,
are.
Well, no, but you can also... Some people out there don't want to subscribe to the entire channel because they don't want all the shows, so they'll just subscribe individually. And then you have the sweethearts of the bunch that subscribe to both because they just love what we do.
The best.
To your point, Chris, we do have a local hour. The Dan Lebatard show with Stu Gatz has a local hour in which if you want more shipping container, we're there... For an entire hour.
Talking sports.
Yeah.
Mostly. We mostly open up with Marlins. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get to...
That has to turn people off, right?
Just has to.
Yeah.
Talk right
has
away.
To. Has to. Let's get into what episode 3 is.
Kiso.
No, not yet.
Oh, not
no,
yet.
We're
going
to say that for later. In the
ZipRecruiter.
No, yeah. Okay, yet. Sure. Well, jump in. Okay. This episode is brought to you by the fine folks at ZipRecruiter.
Guys, hiring is a challenge, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/crate. Not what Roy said week one. It is ZipRecruiter.com/crate.
We're not supposed to call attention to that and the fact that I had to do a Friday at 4 p.m. edit because he made it the wrong web handle.
Good job, Chris. Thank you.
It was a Freddit. That's
good.
Keep
my name out your mouth.
Good. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 webs.
What?
Yeah.
I feel like I had a good 2-week stretch, and now I'm back.
Yeah.
Well, it was
that's what you get. That's what you get for putting my name in your mouth, man. That's karma.
Take this part out. Make me sound good. All right?
You got it.
ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With the powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes. Thousands! To find people with
hundreds?
No. Thousands.
That's a lot, man.
To find people with the right experience and invites them to apply for your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates.
I've tripped there, buddy. I feel you. You know what? It's good for you to go through this.
I'm glad that you brought that up because I'm in here when you do these reads a lot. And they come out clean on South Beach Sessions.
Yeah.
But not always as clean.
Well, South Beach Sessions, that one's supposed to sound polished. And look, spotlights and considering how they write the script, it's difficult. I often mess up there. But according to the listener, I am flawless.
As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. You never do. You think to yourself, I'm 1,000, I might miss a great match. Nope, never miss a great
match.
You
never do.
You never do. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers whose post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. Not a week, not 3 days, the first day.
I like how you ad-lib that part.
Right.
Because it says the first day.
Right.
And then you stress.
Like, it's actually the same ad-lib that I made week one, though. Yeah. I think I need to freshen up my ad-lib.
Yeah. All right, you want to try another one?
Nope. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address.
Just your listeners?
Are there any web addresses that aren't exclusive?
That's a good call.
Yeah.
Well,
my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/crate. Now, what Roy said 2 weeks ago.
Again, keep my name out your mouth.
I feel like the exclusive part adds the crate, because if you just went to ZipRecruiter.com, it wouldn't be exclusive.
Yes.
But when you do the /crate,
there it is.
It becomes exclusive, and that's our gift to you.
Also, are they just your listeners?
Yeah. It's
they're mine.
Okay.
Oh, mine. That's ZipRecruiter.com/CRATE. ZipRecruiter.com/crate. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
You know, we edited the thing that Roy messed up. Episode
you're very
one.
Comfortable.
Yeah, I mean,
like
your
feet are up. Like, you look like you're lounging.
Comfortable. Guys, trying to make fun of me over here.
We got a big podcast. Like,
kick your feet
we're
off.
We're a big deal.
You're feeling yourself.
We're the MC.
Bit. Okay, so what are we going to do to win some people back that don't like Star Wars?
What is MC?
Mystery Crate.
Oh, got you.
Well, this one going to have a little bit more shipping container in it.
Yeah? How much more?
I don't know. What are we playing?
We're going to do Sarah Spain.
Oh, okay.
We're going to explore Sarah. So if you do listen to the local hour, and many of you don't, considering the feedback that we got on episode 2, which is, I want more shipping container. Well, we actually do a
who
local
is that?
Hour. That's the disgruntled Levitard show with yeah. Sugat's fan. I want more shipping container in my mystery crate. Because maybe they don't know that we actually do that weekday show, 1 hour.
But thank you for wanting more of us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, so you're going to get more
or
of
wanting less of a mean.
Yeah. If you listen to the local hour, you might recall one of the benchmarks that we do there, which is exploring blank. We started with exploring Allison, and then it started spinning off, and we started exploring all sorts of people. In this episode, we explore Sarah Spain,
wow,
a friend of the show, and has her own podcast on the Levitard and Friends Network. That's what she said with Sarah Spain. You can check that out. She joins us for a special edition of Exploring.
We ask her about her billionaire husband.
That's according to Reddit. That's a Reddit lie.
Nah, or is it? Find out next.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to the first in 316 installments of our Exploring Sarah journey. As always, I'm G. Lewis Gill. I'm joined by my associates, M. Ryan Ruiz.
Pleasure to be here.
R. Anthony Bellamy.
Hello, everybody.
And I'm Chris W. Cody.
That's not how you do it.
C. Wilfred Cody. Sorry.
Never get this right.
Yeah.
He's a simple man. Can't expect too much from him. We're joined, as I mentioned earlier, by Sarah Spain.
It's S. Colby Spain.
Ooh.
Oh.
Colby. Oh,
interesting.
Spain. Why is your middle name Colby?
Actually, interestingly enough, my ancestor is the reason that there's a city in Wisconsin named Colby and the cheese and Colby College in Maine.
A regal family lineage.
All right. Interesting. Tell us more about this Colby.
He was someone who created, I believe, trains? Locomotives?
Just trains he created.
Well, business.
Toy trains?
Full-size trains.
Locomotives.
That brought business to an area of Wisconsin that was later named after him.
Everyone's doing the locomotion.
Colby. Kylie Minogue.
Interesting. S. Colby Spain, if you had a magic wand, what positive changes would you make happen in your life?
Ooh. I would have even more dogs. I currently have 3. I would be happy with up to 7, maybe 8.
Would you bring someone in to help you take care of the dogs?
I would. I would wave the magic wand. I would create an extra wing of the home for help. And they would help with the dogs. I would...
How many wings does your home have currently?
I don't know if any could be considered a wing. It's in Chicago, so it's more upright than it is spread out horizontally. But there are 3 floors.
3 floors.
An estate.
An estate. The Spain Manor.
Why dogs over cats?
That's the dumbest question I've ever heard.
Cats are the worst.
And the answer is
cats
obvious.
Are the worst. Cats,
cats would kill you if they could, whereas dogs have been genetically made to be the perfect companion.
Interesting.
Like such cats, great data.
I feel like cats get a bad rap.
Such great data.
I mean, cats honestly are fine. They're just 1 billionth as cool as dogs.
Spain Manor.
Spain Manor.
Spanner. S. Colby, what do you expect from this session?
I expect to be creeped out by having to look into your eyes as you talk like that, which is much creepier than just listening to
I'm
it.
I'm just here to collect data.
Oh, okay.
Data.
Does this make you uncomfortable?
Looking into your eyes, yes.
Pardon me. I close my eyes moving forward. The intention's to make you as comfortable as possible,
okay.
Not to make you uncomfortable. So if making you uncomfortable, I'm falling short of the intended goal.
That's right, G. Louise.
S. Colby?
Yes.
Fill in the blank. Blank is a new black.
Burritos.
Burritos are the new black. Burritos are the new black.
Chicken, beef, or steak?
Veggie.
Veggie burritos are the new black.
A nice charred onion, grilled pepper.
Charred onion.
Maybe if you're feeling frisky, some broccoli.
Okay. Will you allow cheese?
Broccoli.
Oh, yeah. Pepper jack.
Broccoli on a veggie burrito.
Yes, tomato.
Nutritious.
I don't like broccoli.
It's terrible.
It does make you fart.
Farting.
If you were a bridge, what type of bridge would you be?
Oh, suspension.
Suspension.
Most glamorous, exotic, beautiful of all bridges.
Interesting suspension bridge. And what kind of void would you be over as a suspension bridge? Water?
Yes.
Land?
No. Definitely a large, beautiful body of water. A bay of some sort.
A bay. We've never heard of
it. Preferably named after me.
The Colby Bay.
Yes.
S. Colby Bay.
Made of cheese.
Colby.
Colby.
A sea of cheese. Yes.
Right by the spanner.
S. Colby? I'm going to say something and I just want... should tell me how it makes you feel.
Okay.
Just do it.
Oh, it makes me think of Michael Jordan. So I can't say how it makes me feel on the radio.
Oh wow. Michael Jordan's sex symbol?
Also, this is a podcast.
Yeah. Oh, right. Well, then I can't say it because there's different rules.
We can get away with a little bit more.
Michael Jordan, yes, would be, up until maybe 5 or 6 years ago, my number one hall pass.
Really?
M. Jeffrey.
What happened 5 or 6 years ago?
Well, he got kind of old.
How many people are on this hall pass list of yours?
An interesting fact about me is that I have met in person, personally, like 5 of my top 7 lifetime hall pass
people. In person?
It's very odd to have been able to actually physically interact with and be in a room with almost all the people in the world that you would most want to have sex with.
Please name them.
Michael Jordan. Josh Hartnett.
Wow, lucky number 11.
Tay Diggs.
Wow.
Josh Duhamel.
How Stella got a groove back.
Yeah.
Who am I missing?
Went a day with Ted Hamilton.
Very balanced list.
Thank you. I'm missing somebody. Oh, Kevin Garnett, but I did not meet him. I just spoke with him.
What did Chris mean by that?
I think he meant that I'm an equal opportunity hall passer.
Who, if you don't mind me asking, is on your husband's hall pass list?
His Hass.
I've asked him, and he always says that there's nobody but me, but he's a liar.
Yeah, he's a smart man.
Yeah.
Smart
liar. He's lying to you, but he's a smart man. Smart liar.
He's very smart. I always try to figure out what's his type, who would you be into, and he does not play the game.
Very smart.
Very smart man.
Let's cut to the chase. Is your husband a billionaire?
That's what Reddit says.
There's a lot of places that say he's a billionaire, and there's not a chance I would be here with you guys if my husband was a billionaire.
That's a good point.
Let's leave it. 100 millionaire.
How many millions is he short of being a billionaire?
Does it matter on the stock market that day?
It does, yes, yes. All the investments that are pouring out of the computers at Spain Manor.
I have a PowerPoint presentation I'd like to send your husband. My next question is, what's your husband's email?
What's his PayPal account?
You can Venmo him at Brad Billionaire.
Oh, Brad Billionaire. The Reddit was right. The Reddit is always right.
Put that in my personal file.
That's the end of it. Just when you're a billionaire, you just your name, Billionaire, yes, and they receive all of it.
He legally changed his last name to Billionaire.
Brad Billionaire.
That would make you Sarah Billionaire.
No. S. Colby Billionaire.
I didn't take his name, though, because I'm getting my own money.
Oh, nice. That's right. That's true.
Millionaire at the moment.
Looks better on TV.
I'm working my way to my own million.
Sisters are doing it for themselves.
That's right.
Opposite of Eddie. How did the inventor of locomotives not become a billionaire?
Inheritance.
Well, Colby is my side of the family. Mm. So Brad's family also from Wisconsin, but no cheese-related lineage as far as I know.
No Jacks in the family.
No Jacks.
Go Badgers.
No mozzarella.
On a scale of J through M, what letter are you?
Oh, L. Mm. Absolutely.
L.
Mm. We don't get that. Fascinating data.
Yeah, I'm going Oppo because most people associate that letter with loser.
Right.
Right, yeah.
Trying to change.
What do you associate it with?
Change the narrative. Just sort of a long stick.
Wow, that's good. That's good. That's good.
S. Colby?
Yes.
What's the best sound?
My dog yawning.
Can you tell me what that sounds like?
My dog Fletch, when he gets tired and he yawns, lets out this little squeak, and it's the cutest thing ever. It's kind of like.
Oh, that is. It's very pleasant.
Do your other dogs know that you like Fletch the best?
Yeah,
yes,
what about
Banks? I tell them. Banks gets told often that he's our second favorite. And Haji knows that he's the third favorite. And Fletch knows that he is the greatest living creature that was ever made and put upon the earth or any other earth.
Haji?
You named him after Merrill Hodge?
Well, no.
You named him after Chris Hodges?
Haji was our first foster 5 years ago, and his name was Lionel, out of the shelter. Then we found a home for him, but eventually, due to a number of circumstances, he has been returned to our home. But the people who took him named him Haji, which I believe means old man in Arabic.
Fascinating.
Oh, wow.
How do you think this makes Banks and Haji feel?
I think that they are also aware that Fletch is the greatest creature or celestial being of any kind to ever grace this earth or any other earth or universe. And therefore, they bow to him in the same way that Brad and I do.
Hmm. Might I look at you again? This is becoming very difficult.
I think I'm becoming more comfortable.
Thank you for granting me permission. If you could go anywhere in the world for 3 days, where would you go?
Understanding that you have this ability because your husband's a billionaire.
Right. Time travel involved, or am I going right now?
Don't be ridiculous. Let's begin with present-day travel.
Okay.
And then we'll move on to future travel, past travel, time travel.
Present-day travel.
3 days only.
3 days only.
Four nights.
I would go to the Galapagos Islands.
Galapagos. Ta-da.
Lots of travel time to get to the Galapagos for 3 days.
Well, you didn't introduce how I was getting there or back. It felt like perhaps I would just snap and be there. That's usually how things work when you're a billionaire.
How did we have more nights than days?
That's a good point.
I think it's a
6 days, 7 nights.
Overnight flight.
Yeah, it's possible.
Is it?
Yeah. Sometimes you're
sleep
an imbecile.
4 nights. I feel like
but
you have
usually
to
there's more days than nights. You're right.
That's right.
But I think in this case, the travel must have been during the night.
Yeah, you land in the nighttime.
It seems as though Steve Wilfred may have caught on to something that we missed, which is impossible.
Snap, crackle, or pop?
Oh, pop, baby.
Oh,
wow.
Baby. Who are you?
I'm a accumulation of all the particles, atoms, and floating beings, including my aura.
What are you?
Good question.
The commish.
Oh.
When are you?
Always.
Wow. How are you?
Pretty good.
Okay.
Why are you?
Because my parents decided one day to have unprotected sex on the floor, according to them, which made me sad because I wondered, how do you know that that was the time? Does that mean you didn't do it very often?
Where was
or
the
was
floor?
That the only time you forgot to use protection?
Where was this floor?
I believe it was in their home.
What other details can you give us? What
thankfully, none.
How does it make you feel knowing you're a floor baby?
Flaby.
Started from the bottom.
Not here.
Now you are presently here.
Yeah.
Would you agree that for everything else, there's MasterCard?
I would agree that Visa is wherever you want to be.
Touche.
I mean, she kind of botched it, but whatever.
What's your favorite number?
23.
Of course.
What's your least favorite number?
45.
45 is still better than most other numbers.
45 lost to the magic.
Interesting. No judgment. No judgment.
I love all numbers.
Wow. What advice would you give to a 10-year-old enemy of yours?
Do not challenge me to any... Wait, am I the current age? Or is the enemy 10 and I'm
this
10
is
as
current
well?
Age you time traveling to speak to your 10-year-old enemy.
Yeah, 4 nights, 3 days time travel.
Okay. Perfect. Standard time travel.
I would tell the 10-year-old enemy that one day I will grow up to be a billionaire and perhaps you might want to not be such a dick.
Wow. Okay. Good advice.
Who's the biggest celebrity you've ever been shit-faced with?
Ooh. That's a tough one. The biggest celebrity I've met and spoken to is Michael Jackson, but I was not shit-faced. I was fairly drunk at Michael Jordan's son's high school graduation party that Drake and Lil Wayne performed at.
Jeez.
And I may or may not have given him my card and said, just in case you ever need anything. Which is...
Eddie Play.
Embarrassing.
There's a lot to
unpack there.
Just trying to follow down, the path of what party that was.
Who got the card? Was it Drake? Was it Lil Wayne? Was it Michael Jordan?
Michael Jordan.
His son.
Michael Jordan?
Yes.
Senior?
His heiress?
What? The father?
I gave him my card.
Did it say hall pass?
You ever need anything?
Why would he need your help? Because your husband's a billionaire.
What did the card say on it?
I wasn't married at the time.
Hall pass.
It was one of my old cards from when I lived in L.A., so one side was my... acting headshot.
No, man, this is...
The other side was my phone number.
Starting to play the character.
And how long before he called?
Still waiting.
Wow.
You'll call someday.
How did you get invited to this party?
This woman that I worked with had been on several vacations with Juanita and the kids, almost as a sort of chaperone of sorts. And so she knew that I was a big fan and invited me to the party. And I had just met Michael 2 months earlier at a Super Bowl party. And I acted a little strange.
Okay.
So that when he saw me again 2 months later at his kid's graduation party.
Still remembered.
He was like, what are you doing here?
Oh, no. You made an impression.
Wow. Certainly did.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
What was the drink that got you there?
Probably a vodka Sprite.
Okay. Yeah, that'll do it for you.
What did you do the first time you met Michael Jordan that he remembered how strange you were? Michael Jordan must meet hundreds of people.
Probably a few vodka Sprites.
I was sober, unfortunately. He was in a VIP area of a party that I was covering the red carpet for. I discovered him before the party truly began when he was alone and no one knew he was there. And he was near the corner where the red rope separated the VIP. And so I asked if he might take a photo with me. And the security guard kept saying no, and I kept upping the ante as to why he should take a photo with me. And I may or may not have said, when you got divorced, my mom emailed me and said there's still a chance. And I may have said that when I was growing up, you lived one town over, and I used to go to your house and stand on top of my car to look over the gate and see if you were in the front yard.
That's crazy.
And I may have said that I had a plan once to go trick-or-treating and then faint at your door so that you'd have to bring me inside while you called 911.
Good Naturally, the second meeting was you showing up at his son's graduation party.
Yes, but he did eventually take the photo with me because either he thought it was funny and compelling or he was scared. But Charles Oakley was with him and took the photo, but part of his thumb covered the corner.
How much distance was the restraining order for?
Still pending.
Do you think the photo might have just been to pass around the security detail?
Potentially, I've never been back. Not just to the bar, but the city it was in.
I think that's all the time we have for today. Definitely have more to explore next session. Thank you, as always.
Truly ashamed of myself.
Thank you, sir.
M. Ryan Reeves.
Interesting data.
R. Anthony Bellamy.
Thank you.
Chris W. Cody. And S. Colby Billionaire.
Wow. How about that, huh?
What an exploration.
It was an incredible exploration. We found out... Well, what happened to my...
Oh, my God.
We found out a lot about Sarah. I still am a little unsure as to whether or not her husband's indeed a billionaire. She played a little coy.
Mm-hmm. I think he is, and I think that she doesn't want to say that he is. But that's just me.
But then she's like, do you think I'd still be working here if my husband were a billionaire? But that's precisely what someone would say if they wanted to throw us off their billionaire scent.
Exactly.
If I was married to a billionaire, I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't be working. No
I was
chance.
Just going to say, if you guys won the lottery, let's say you won $500 million. Peace out.
No.
I feel like I just...
Really?
After they take out the taxes and the appropriate fees for winning.
Oh, man. Poor guy.
Am I the only
winner?
You're
stuck with $250
million. My attitude would change a little bit. I wouldn't be as eager and happy. I'd come in. I'd be like, I don't need to be here.
I think the tipping point is $11.5 million. $11.5 million.
After taxes.
After taxes. That's my haul. You won't see me ever again.
No.
That's a tipping point.
I need something to do, so I will come in.
But every day you complain about being here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Why are you lying?
It's not really a lie. It's
lying.
It's what it is.
Anyways.
Else is coming up today?
We have coming up next.
Oh, a You Never Know with
a
Chris.
Special
it's
edition.
You Never Know.
Yeah.
Or
it's Y-A. Y-A. Never Know.
Yeah. But before we do that, we have to take care of the network sponsor and
ZipRecruiter.
We did that already.
Oh, we did that one already.
We did that one already. See, ZipRecruiter brought you this episode, whereas this is the entire network sponsor.
Ooh.
Making everything possible.
Oh yeah.
Is that the paper I have?
Yeah.
Tissot is the official watch of the NBA and this, apparently.
Yes, the entire network, Billy.
Each one of Tissot's timepieces delivers quality performance
Why are you doing that voice?
Announcer voice?
Yeah, is that your announcer voice?
Tissot is the official watch of the NBA. Each one of Tissot's timepieces delivers quality performance and traditional luxury. This graduation season, get the NBA fan in your life a Tissot watch.
Now, you're going a little too quick.
The Tissot Chrono XL is a great watch, I'm told. I don't have one. For those looking for a sporty chronograph with Swiss technology at an unbeatable price, shop now at us.tissotshop.com.
Okay.
Or is it us.tissotshop.com?
That is us.
You know what? Loud and clear. Billy doesn't want to do that.
No, I didn't.
Oh, boy.
us.tissotshop.com.
Tissot is the official watch of the NBA.
That's what I
said. And also the official watch of the Levitard and Friends Network, guys.
Oh, really?
The fine people at Tissot.
I said all of this. Credit.
Each one of Tissot's timepieces delivers quality performance and traditional luxury.
Yeah.
You drive it home like that.
You don't tell me. I already told the people that.
You've been rushing through it.
And Tissot's getting 2-for-1 on this.
This graduation season, get that special NBA fan in your life a Tissot watch. Please do that for me.
Me too.
Is it made with real Spalding leather?
Some of their watches. Yeah. But I want to talk to you right now about the Tissot Chrono XL.
Wow.
Because it is a great watch for those looking for a sporty chronograph with Swiss technology at an unbeatable price. Please shop now us.tissotshop.com. us.tissotshop.com.
Beautiful timepiece.
That's what I said. I don't see the difference between how you
did
it and how I did it.
I didn't believe you, Billy.
Well,
I didn't believe you.
What didn't you believe?
I didn't believe how excited you were about Tissot.
Oh, I was
in. Fine people at Tissot deserve to know how excited you are that they are bringing to you this entire network.
I think I was excited.
Okay, well, that's you. Okay, well, lesson learned.
Mm.
Let's toss to You Never Know.
All right, coming up next,
You never know.
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 You never know. You never know.
You never know.
You never know. You never know.
I want to talk about just general restaurant etiquette, because I always find you, I don't want to say you have a temper, but in instances where we're at a restaurant together and we're getting not great service.
Right.
Let's say the wait, like we haven't seen the waiter or waitress in 10 minutes. You are one that when she comes back around, you are going to find a way to express to her or him that you're frustrated.
Right.
As opposed to just kind of swallowing it and moving on.
You know, I do let the waiter or waitress know when I think the service is slow, but I'm careful not to blame them directly. I typically say something like, man, you're slammed in here today. You must have too many tables to wait on or something, right? And allow them the opportunity to say, yeah, I know it's been a little slow. I'm sorry, and blah, blah, blah. And then maybe in turn, that waiter tells his manager, hey, customers are complaining a little bit because I just, you know, can you give Jack Smith over there a couple of my tables? Because,
well, as someone who's worked in the restaurant industry, I can assure you that a waiter is never going up to the manager
right.
and saying, hey, people are complaining about me.
Okay, you're probably right.
Like, if it's
right.
getting to the manager, yeah. it's from the straight from the consumer. And then the manager is then going up to the waiter and saying, hey, you're getting complaints.
Okay, gotcha.
Have you ever, like, openly got an email from a listener or a fan of something you wrote that was critical of you, and you messaged your boss and you're like, hey, a lot of people are criticizing the way I wrote this. No, I don't think you have.
That's a very good point.
So, also, I was at a restaurant last night with my wife and her sister and her fiance. So it was four of us, and we split the bill in half. I was signing mine. My future brother-in-law was signing his.
Mm-hmm.
First off, he needed to see how much I was tipping.
Oh, I hate that.
What's going on there? He wanted to do the exact same as me.
Yeah.
And so he's just like, what'd you leave? And I'm like, don't worry about what I leave.
That's very common, though. We socialize with a couple of friends, and a friend of mine does the same thing.
Larry David calls this tipping in concert, by the way.
Does he? Yes. Oh, there's a phrase for it. Okay, tipping in concert.
Are you someone, like, if the other person is signing first, are you interested in what they're
not
leaving?
Not in the least. Not in the least. I'm not going to be... I'm a generous tipper.
You're an okay tipper.
I start at 20%.
Yeah.
You know, and if the service is good, it's pretty common for me to round up.
What I will do is I don't, like, need to see what they're tipping. Like, I'm not looking, but I'm going to leave, like, an extra dollar just in case. I just need my tip to not be able to be criticized.
Right.
Because like, if I'm leaving 25%, if he wants to leave 40%, I'm not going to compete with that. But
right.
I'm still leaving a solid tip.
Sure.
So I might tip a little more when I'm with other people.
Right.
But I'm not that interested that I need to see exactly what
you're doing. Yeah, no, I think that's weird, if anything. I think it's strange to, you know, compare tips and make sure that everybody's aligned. You know, first of all, the waiter doesn't give a crap. You know, he doesn't care whether one person tips him a dollar and a half more than the other person. I don't think. I've never been a waiter. You have.
This is also this same exact dinner where he wanted to see how much I was leaving. He took the pen. He thought it was a great pen. The waiter leaves
right.
with the bill to sign the credit card.
Right.
And he's just like, this is a great pen. He like unsnapped it and put it in his pocket. I'm just like, is that a thing? You're just allowed to do that?
Well, okay. Here's the rule. If you're dining at Ralph's Diner and the pen says Ralph's Diner, you're allowed to take it.
Okay.
If it's a personal pen, if you get the idea that that's the waiter owns that pen.
Yeah.
Then you don't take
Which is the case. Any restaurant right. I've ever worked at was BYOP. Like, you had to bring your own pen.
Okay, right.
And
exactly.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this. I have never in my life stayed in a hotel where I didn't take every pen in the room and every writing pad in the room.
Where's the line on that? Can I take towels from a hotel?
No. I mean, you can. I'm trying to think of what I take besides pen and
little shampoos.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Soaps. I'll take.
Why are you taking that?
Because they're good travel size. You know, you take a little shampoo from a hotel, you throw it in your toiletry bag, and, you know, if you ever forget your shampoo, voila, there it is.
What do you think about people that write reviews?
Your mother does that. She's,
yeah.
like, all the time going on Yelp and writing this,
yeah.
and she checks reviews as well.
That's funny. I'm kind of hating on reviews while admitting that I check them. Christy's like that too, my wife. Do you think it's like, I don't want to do like a whole sex thing, but like, is, are women, I think women are more likely to leave reviews, right?
To leave reviews and to care what other people think in general.
I don't know about checking reviews, because I have a friend of mine who I've gone to dinner with. Like, anytime we go to a restaurant, he wants to check the reviews. And I also, if I'm going to a place, if I'm like in a city I don't know, I'm checking reviews on restaurants before I go there.
The reason I don't is that we generally go to a restaurant based on a recommendation or based on something we've heard from somebody we know. I don't trust reviews. I don't trust that they're legit. You know, to me, if you read a negative review of a restaurant, I always assume the review was written by the owner of the competing restaurant. Right. You know, he wants to ruin this guy's business.
Yeah.
You know, and I believe that, by the way.
Something that you do when I go to dinner with you I'll just say it. It's annoying. When we're waiting for a table and they say it's a 30-minute wait.
Right.
And we're like, okay, we'll go to the bar, get a drink. You like to constantly go back up to the front, to the hostess stand, and ask them. Even though it hasn't been 30 minutes yet, it's been 15 minutes. What you usually do is say, hey, Christopher, why don't you go check on our name?
Sure. My pet peeve is when you're told it's going to be a 30-minute wait, and they know damn well it's going to be 45 minutes. They're just saying 30, so you don't walk out the door.
But do they do that a lot? Because I feel my experience is, you go into a crowded restaurant, they tell you 45 minutes, and it's 25 minutes.
We've had that, too.
Because first off, a lot of times I think that the hostess and stuff, they don't care. It's not like they're the owner. So they're right. Like, they want to deal with as least amount of people as possible. So they're right. Kind of just like, oh, it's going to be 2 hours, hoping that you'll just be like, oh, never mind, and leave. Because they just want less people around.
They tell you it's going to be a longer wait, so you will go to the bar and have a drink. And then half the time, we go to this little Italian restaurant near our house, And they do that. They pull that, and then half the time you haven't even ordered your drink yet, and your table's ready.
Right.
Even though they told you it's going to be a long enough wait to order your drink. So that's one of the little ruses of the restaurant industry, in my opinion.
When that happens, and you go to your table, so now you have a full drink because you just went to the bar and ordered
right.
a drink, and now you're walking to your table, and you sit down, and the waiter then comes up. I always feel like the waiter's mad at me if I have a full drink, because he's like, oh, wow, you have a full drink. So you want a drink, but you're not going to buy it with me, so it's not going to go towards my tip. You already tipped out the bartender right. for that, so that's one less drink you're going to order with me.
Right, right.
I'm always more, because I'm thinking they're mad at me, so then I'm drinking this drink fast so I can order a drink with the waiter to let him know, hey, I'm not just drinking with the bar. Like, I'm going to keep drinking. I want you to know that I'll have a drink from you, too.
Okay.
So we're going to get this bill up there, because when I was a waiter, you get mad when you walk up to a table and it's four people and they're like, and it's dinner time. Four waters, like just one of those tables.
Oh, right,
not
yeah.
drinking.
Yeah, that's never me, by the way.
Right, I know. We know the waiter. You want that bill to get up because the more the bill is,
oh, sure.
the bigger the tip.
Right.
So you want a table that's like, I'll take a Miller Lite, I'll take a margarita. Like that's what you want.
That's why waiters love me, baby.
Yeah, they do love you.
They
but
do love
that's
me.
That's what I mean. So like, I'm always self conscious of that because I was a waiter and I always got disappointed. And if I saw someone coming from the bar sitting down with a full drink, I'm like, oh, that's one less drink that's going to be on the bill for my tip.
But wouldn't and you've been a waiter, I never was, but wouldn't the waiter also think, all right, if this guy's coming to the table from the bar with a drink in his hand, that's a drinker.
That's
He's going to order more drinks during the meal.
Yeah, the best case scenario is when they show up to the table with the drinks basically empty.
Right.
There was an accurate wait time given. They had time to actually drink the first drink, and they're getting there. So right when I come up, it's like, oh, I see you already got drinks. I'll take another one.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's
perfect.
Like,
oh, yeah.
That's nirvana.
Yeah. You know what I do? My favorite waiter is the one, and we go, again, this little Italian joint we go to, we always ask for the certain waiter because he knows us and we know him and he's great. And he'll come up to me with my Miller Lite, one third of it left. I'm not done the beer yet.
But, the next one?
Yeah. But he'll say to me, you want another one? And with a grin on his face, knowing I do. And I will hit him with my standard line, which is, what are you, a mind reader? And he'll bring me another beer, and it'll be great. It's like a little running joke we have between each other.
It's a terrible joke.
Ah, what are you, when somebody says, you ready for, hey, you need another beer? What are you, a mind reader? That's funny. That's a good thing. Hmm. That's what you want to say. Here's another little joke I use that gets a big laugh from the checkout girl at Publix. Let's say my bill was $18.48. It comes up, so that's 1848. And I'll go, oh, that's the year I was born. Funny. To me, anyway.
Another thing you do is when we're at a restaurant, and we're all done eating and the waiter's coming around, your plate is clean. It's totally empty. And you'll throw him with a, as you could tell, I didn't really like it.
Yeah, that's true. That is a standard. That's a classic. Yeah, that's a...
You pride yourself on bad jokes.
It's an evergreen.
I can't even really judge you because I'm kind of becoming you. When you're not around, I've kind of just become that role on our show.
Yeah.
Because it works both ways. It's either funny to the people that think it's funny
right.
or the people that think it's terrible. It's so terrible
right.
that it's funny.
Yeah. Well, the next time you're paying for something and the checkout girl says to you, that'll be 1907, and you're going to go, hey, that was the year I was born. And she'll laugh, and right. you'll both walk out with a smile
that
on your face.
That one actually is pretty – I like that one of
Thank
all
you.
The ones we've taught. I'm actually becoming you more than I would like to admit.
Thank you.
My wife makes these observations.
I take that as a great compliment.
Last night, I did a you where we got the bill, and I said, what, did we break a window?
Yeah, that's funny.
And I Good it's stuff. One of those things that I say it out loud, and then I just start shaking my head because it's me realizing that I am becoming my father.
You know what your mother does in a restaurant that drives me crazy? She like busses the table. She like does the work that the waiter should be doing. She cleans the table. She busses. When the waiter comes after the meal to pick up the plates, she'll like stack the plates and hand him the plates.
That's
and,
common courtesy.
Nah, I don't believe
well,
that.
She doesn't want people draping all over you, reaching for stuff. I'm totally with her. Maybe
really?
That's because I worked in the industry.
Yeah, see, I don't like that.
What you'd prefer is the waiter to come back over and have to spend 30 seconds grabbing a fork, grabbing this thing.
Yeah,
stacking
it's his job.
It up. Whereas,
that's what he does.
I know that's their job, but mom is stacking things up that the waiter might not have taken. They might not have taken this napkin. They might not have taken every single piece of silverware.
Well, that's why I'll
so
go.
Now, all of a sudden, everything's gone and you have a nice, clean area.
Right. I'll point at a plate and I'll say, we're done with that if you don't mind taking it, you know, that kind of thing. My attitude is, I'm tipping the waiter. You know, the waiter's not back there cooking my steak. He's just bringing it to me and cleaning the table afterwards. So one of the things I'm tipping him for is his service and also his attitude. If the service is great but the attitude's wrong, I'll stiff the guy in the tip. And likewise, the other day when the three of us, me, you, and your brother, went to an unnamed restaurant, and remember the service was like really bad,
mm-hmm.
but the guy had a great attitude.
Yeah, you were still annoyed.
I was still annoyed, but I left him a decent tip, and I didn't say anything to him because his attitude was so great.
I feel like you didn't say anything to him because we kept saying to you, he's so nice, please don't.
It could be. But
and that guy was overworked that day.
He was.
He had like 8 tables, and a lot of them sat at like the same time as us.
Right.
That was more on they didn't have enough staff.
Yeah,
like that
yeah I thought about talking to the manager on the way out.
But you're totally right that you did. You were going to just,
oh,
excuse
yeah.
me, sir, he is way overworked.
Right. Yes, exactly. I was going to say the waiter we had was great. His bedside manner was fantastic, and this is not his fault, but I think he had too many tables. He was overworked, and therefore our service was really slow.
I think it'd be tableside manner, not bedside manner.
Eh, whatever.
That's going to do it for us here on this episode of Mystery Crate. If you like what we do, and I believe this is the first time I've asked you to do this on the Mystery Crate, please subscribe to this podcast. Rate it, review it, and by that I mean type out an actual review. Look, it could be the laziest thing possible. I've even done a review. So please, just type something out. All of that boosts the weird algorithm that a lot of podcast carriers have, and it makes it seem like we're a lot bigger deal than I think we actually are in reality. So go ahead, subscribe, rate, review. If you're happy with what we're doing, or if you just want to support people that you like.